My guest at this time is Michael Ferris. He's the chairman of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. He is also the chancellor of Patrick Henry College. Mr. Ferris is also the author of a piece that ran Sunday in USA Today entitled "Christian Schools Will Have No Choice About Gay Marriage." In that article, Ferris points to a telling moment in the recent Supreme Court arguments over the definition of marriage, as Justice Samuel Alito asked if a decision declaring a right to gay marriage would threaten the tax-exempt status of Christian colleges and universities, much like what happened at schools that resisted interracial dating over a generation ago. The top government lawyer said it will be an issue. And Mr. Ferris, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure to join you.
You write in this piece for USA Today that this will not just impact Christian colleges, but elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, and even churches. Explain what these schools could be required to do in order to maintain their tax-exempt status, or I guess what they could do to find themselves in danger of losing it.
Well, the legal principle that was established in the interracial case from Bob Jones University is applicable to all nonprofit organizations. It's not just colleges. And so any Christian organization, any other religious organization that refuses to participate in same-sex marriages, I mean, if you won't let your pastor perform same-sex marriages, if you won't you let your building be performed, if you, you know, at Patrick Henry College, we would not hire any professor that believed in that form of marriage or practiced it. And so if we stay true to our beliefs, we're going to find our tax-exempt status threatened in the days ahead. And so that is a death knell for a lot of organizations.
What about a school that perhaps doesn't have a facility that would be something you would consider for a same-sex wedding? And is it just about personnel in that situation where they could be in trouble? Or is there some other situation, since they wouldn't necessarily have a pastor there, that would be asked or expected to perform some sort of ceremony?
Well, it would be, you know, like let's say a family applies to have a student attend the school, and it's a, you know, two men that are married to each other, and you require a statement of faith of the families to be able to participate, and you deem that to be contrary to your statement of faith. That's a scenario where, you know, it could happen. And so there are multiple applications. And in fact, just simply teaching our kids that homosexuality is a sin would be sufficient to bring these things into question. There are articles written in law reviews published by top law schools, professors at Northwestern University, professors at George Washington University, and at Emory have all opined that Christian schools and homeschools that refuse to teach their kids a tolerant viewpoint should be closed down entirely, not just lose their tax-exempt status. They should lose the right to be able to teach children. And so, you know, those are the kinds of attacks that you see being advocated from the left today. And they, of course, control a lot of the levers of power. And so you can expect that, you know, they'll attempt to do what they threatened to do in the law review articles.
We're talking with Michael Ferris. He is the chairman of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And Michael, as I'm sure you well know, there are churches and there are schools associated with churches where, historically speaking, the law has been on their side, where if you want to take part in any sort of activity at the church, you need to become a member. And to become a member, you have to agree to whatever the church says their statement of faith is. As long as you agree with that or don't agree with that, that's the standard for having access. Their same thing essentially goes along with the schools. Do you suspect that will no longer hold up if the court goes along with legalizing same-sex marriage?
I was in a courtroom in the late 1970s where an Orthodox Presbyterian church was being sued for refusing to continue the employment of the church organist who they found out was homosexual. And in that day, the church won on the basis of religious freedom. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court of the United States in 1990, in a case called Employment Division versus Smith, threw the free exercise of religion onto the constitutional trash heap. And so I would expect that case goes the other way. So, you know, you can take it down as close to the heart of the church as you want, who you hire as your pastor, who you hire as your minister of music, who you hire as your youth director. We're seeing the Supreme Court doctrines in cases involving the freedom of association, the free exercise of religion. And we have to remember that Bob Jones University lost their free exercise of religion claim when they were dealing with interracial marriage. And there's no reason to believe that the free exercise of religion is more powerful today than it was in the Bob Jones case a generation ago.
Let's look at this from the financial perspective just briefly here, Michael, whether it's the institution itself or perhaps more so for the donors that give to those institutions, churches or schools, what is the impact on them if, in fact, tax-exempt status is lost?
Well, the churches and the Christian schools like Patrick Henry, the paying of taxes is not a big deal. In fact, in most cases, it would be zero because they don't actually make a profit. But it's the ability to have your donors receive tax-deductible status for their gifts. That's the issue. And so a college like Patrick Henry that takes zero government funding is going to have a lot of the people that give us very large gifts do so, you know, partly because they can get a tax-deductible gift for it. And some of the private foundations that give us money are required by their charters to only give to valid IRS-recognized nonprofit organizations. And so it would really hurt on the giving side of things, unless there was an army of people who would rise up and say, you know, look, I don't care about the taxes. I'm going to give to you anyway. Schools like Patrick Henry would end up having to close down.
Michael, don't necessarily want to end on a hopeless note here, but I've got to ask the question. It sounds like you believe that these institutions are kind of surrounded on all sides here. Is there an escape outlet?
There is, and it's called we have to fight back in politics. I mean, all these things could be repealed by Congress. Congress could pass explicit laws that would refuse to give this kind of implication to the Internal Revenue Tax Code. That's going to take majorities in both houses of Congress, and it's going to take a friendly president to sign the law. And so elections will matter. But the biggest solution, from my perspective, is to get rid of the Internal Revenue Service and get rid of the whole income tax system and the ability of the government to regulate our lives through that. And that's why I'm working on the Convention of States project. And we've passed that in a single house in 10 different states this year. We need to get it passed in both houses in 34 states in order to call a convention of the states to rein in the power of the federal government. The top of my list is to get rid of the Internal Revenue Service.
Michael, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Michael Ferris is chairman of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. He's also the chancellor at Patrick Henry College. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.